Yeah, it's the old Sunshine State, all right. It's the news, according to me. Hello, happy new year, by the way. It is January 1st. Thursday, January 1st. Thursday, January 1st. Thirsty Thursday. At 9:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Kevin. You know, was up late with all the celebratory stuff that I do. I went to bed about 10:30. We had a here at the campsite. There was a little ball dropping ceremony. They did a really nice job. They had the little clubhouse was all, it was very, very nicely done. Had some food out, some hors d'oeuvres, and some things like that. And then we had a little disco ball. It was probably like a 6-inch. They set it up, strung up on a tree. And the ball dropped about 9 o'clock, and then we were all went our separate ways, kind of done. We were just kind of done with it. We're all a bunch of old geezers that just don't want to, you know, we've seen a couple of these. New Year's, just another day kind of thing for us, I guess. But yeah, so here we are, 2026. It's officially an election year. And oh my, what a year it's going to be. We have a lot of things happening. I'm going to put this window up so I can actually look outside. It's supposed to, it was 30 degrees when I woke up this morning. And there was a window left open in the motorhome, in the front of the motorhome last night, which I'm sure is going to eat most of our gas. We have a propane heater on this. We have a propane furnace on the motorhome here. I think it's doing fine. But we have our nights get kind of cold down here. We're supposed to get up to, I think it's 60 degrees today. I think it's 65 degrees is supposed to be the high today and sunny. So it's going to be a very nice day for being out doing things. But then again, of course, tonight, and we'll get back down in the 40s again, which is not bad. That's not bad sleeping weather, actually. We might be able to just leave the furnace off most of the night, for that matter. But anyway, we have, oh my goodness, how things are heating up with the issues of the Nick Shirley, the white supremacist known as Nick Shirley, because he's a white supremacist. I kind of have to wonder. There are professional individuals who run big time shows and make big time money. We're talking more money for an episode than I make in a year, some of these people. And they don't know the common news factors, just the basics of what's going on politically. And yet they are paid political commentators with all of their important facts. And we're going to get into that a little bit. In the meantime, I'm going to get into my cup. I have another double dose, if you will. Rather large cup. I might turn this into an iced chai later on, but I have my chai with my creamer. What you call it? Creamer. Coconut cream. Creamer. Kind of hard to say because it's kind of, you know. In my other cup, I have the last, it's not the last of it. I might have one more cup left of peach sweet tea that I made at home prior to leaving. The good news is I have a wash permit. The facility here, the campground that we're on, you have to have a wash permit to wash your vehicles. And I have that, wash permit right here in front of me. Allows me to wash today and tomorrow. And they did not put an end date on there. It just says 2 days wash, 2 day wash pass. That's what it says. Starts today. So I can wash the Jeep, which is a mess after being behind the motorhome throughout all that weather. The only thing I don't have is a small hose. I thought I had one of those small little crushable little fold up hoses. I cannot find it, and I may have left it on the other motorhome, so I'm afraid I might have done, or I pulled a bunch of stuff off the motorhome, and I left it, because there's not as much storage. This is a 38-foot newer coach than, almost 10 years newer than the other coach, and I don't have as much storage space underneath. Now, this was not as high-end of a, I mean, if you would have taken the same brand coach and put it up against a, this is like a 2006, I think, or whatever it is. If you were to put this up again, it might be a 2004. Put it up against a 2004 coach, the same, a Fleetwood style coach like that. This is a Coachman cross country, and it does not have the. I bet there's probably a third less storage on this coach than there was on the other one. It had full pass through on a couple of the spots. This one does not. It only has one little pass through, which is probably about a 16 by 16 pass through, which is, I don't know what that's all about. I can put my pop up tent, my little pop up overhead thing in there. That's about all we have room for in this thing. Otherwise, it's very small compartments. So there's a lot of stuff that won't fit in this thing. I carried a lot more stuff in the other one, and it even had a larger, that other one had a larger fuel tank. It had a larger water capacity, lots of things. There's more room in this one. Of course, it has the slide outs, which take up quite a bit of space. It just does. That's just what it does. It gives you more living space, but less trailerable space, or less pullable space, whatever you call it. The other one was a Spartan chassis as well. This one's Freightliner. Anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole. The interesting thing that we have going on here is, that's some good chai. We have Nick Shirley, this guy who is a beast of a journalist, has a bright future ahead of him. Funny thing, you know, it's funny how all of a sudden, Candace Owens isn't in the news anymore. Nobody's talking about Candace Owens right now. Nobody's talking about the all the issues that are going on there, with the whole thing with Ben Shapiro and all the stuff. That's kind of all of a sudden gone away. So yeah, that's it's kind of a it's strange how the news cycle does this kind of thing. Now, of course, the news media, the left-wing, liberal, Democrat, leftist, Marxist news media that we have, I'm not going to hold back on this anymore. I'm going to continue to say what they are. I'm going to call them out for who they are. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a geopolitical engineer. I'm not a expert on anything. This is all just for your entertainment only. It's just my opinions. I'm not making any allegations. I have no proof of anything other than what's in my head. It's coming out, spilling out into the internet. That's all I've got. I keep hearing this in the last 6 months or 8 months. I've heard this a lot more than ever, but some of the people who are kind of critical of the media, they come out and say things like, you don't hate the news media enough. In other words, if however much you hate them, you don't hate them enough. You can despise them and hate them a lot and still not enough. And I'm starting to agree with that. There's a couple examples here. Oh, the ice is being made in the background there. There's a couple of examples here of how this works. First of all, they are defending. They're going after Nick. Instead of just looking at what Nick Shirley is looking into and saying, oh, okay, they don't like the fact that they've been scooped. That's what it is. They feel stupid now. Now, there were some local news broadcasters, some local news people who looked into this very same thing, did this very, very same thing about 8 months ago. They were not attacked. They were ignored. They shuffled them under the rug. They didn't do the quite as extensive as a... Because it didn't make a national news. It just didn't make it. It should have. Didn't. And the thing with Nick Shirley is everybody... It just went viral. Everybody started playing. And I don't know who... I've never heard of this guy before. Apparently he has a following. I don't know. In fact, I'm going to look for him right now on the internet and see what... see if he has a channel. Or what his channel is called. I'm just going to give him a plug here. I am not sponsored by anyone. I don't monetize my channel. Well, he does have definitely has a channel. And he just, let's see, 5 days ago was his last posting on here, 13 days prior to that, 2 weeks prior to that. He doesn't put out daily content, but I'm definitely going to be subscribing. Now, he's got... let's see what he's got here. He's got 1.3 million subscribers, probably just within the last week. I don't know. I don't know what has happened with his subscriptions He has 712 videos. But he's apparently been doing this little channel for a while. So I'm going to ring the bell on that one. I want to get his thing. So we have, there we go. That's all. Thank you very much. That's good. All right, good. We have this interesting clip. Matt Walsh has come out. I want to try to find a clip of him, some things that he was saying. When a person starts talking like Matt Walsh is talking right now, I could get into the analysis of everything about his voice. I could start just in terms of tonal quality and everything and the way he speaks. I think I may have talked about this before when he's on the campaign trail. Same guy, doing the same things. He comes out and he can say a lot of words very quickly, and he'll throw in comments in the middle of these word salads. It kind of make it sound like you have to try to follow along what his sense of reasoning and sense of thought of what he's talking about. Most of the time, it's just gobbledygook, five different topics hitting on all these points, and then all of a sudden he'll throw in a comment. This isn't necessarily a vocal quality. This is a mental state that this guy's in. He does it all the time. And as a politician, now Mamdani can go through a point and he'll start with, you ask him a yes or no question. He will start with an answer. He'll start in with an answer with an explanation. And he goes through this whole thing, and he could have just said no or yes, but he has to go through this whole explanation, and he diverts from what, are you a communist? I am not, I'm a socialist. I'm a communist. He goes through this whole explanation. He'll take 10 minutes. He could just say no. But he doesn't do that. I'm a democratic socialist. Well, what is a democratic, define democratic socialism? Well, it's communism. Oh, okay. Well, so you're a communist. No, I'm not. It's just, you play this game with them all day long, and they just can't answer a straight question. Straight yes or no question. Can't do it. You ask Tim Walsh the same thing. It's, you know, any kind of straight yes or no question, it will go all over the place. He has thrown out there. And of course, this is like Jimmy Kimmel does the same thing. He'll throw these underhanded comments in. Jimmy Kimmel's been doing it again now. Recently, when he was talking about the whole thing with the Charlie Kirk incident, and he said something about this, you know, they can't deny this. This is one of their own. This happened at the hands of one of their own. Basically, I'm not quoting him directly, but that's kind of, he made this comment that it made it sound like it was a MAGA person who killed Charlie Kirk. He did not. And then he denies it. I never said that. Yes, you absolutely said it. He said it in such an underhanded, untoned way. He slipped it in. And it was partially innuendo and partially right out, flat out said it. Because he didn't say it was a MAGA person. He said it was one of their own. Killed by one of their own. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, that's not what I meant. I'm a Christian man. He starts talking about his Christianity, his Christian faith, and everything else. I had no idea the guy was Christian. Which, you know, kind of leads me to believe, if someone doesn't know, if you're talking to the world every night, and the first time you have to tell them they're a Christian is when you're trying to apologize about something, and he never apologized, by the way. Never did, because he denied it. Very interesting stuff. They throw these comments in. This is a common trait among people who are their core value is, of course, the whole end justifies the means thing, but their whole core value is one of deception and lies, and they don't even, it's basically called self-deception. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm telling you, this is out of years of observation of people being people, it's one of those. Oh. I see what's happening here. Okay. I was getting some text. I thought something I need to respond to. It's not. At least it's from my brother and sister. I run a text thing with me. anyway, so this whole thing unravels in front of them, and they simply deflect, and again, they act like 12-year-olds. If you've ever had to deal with junior high kids, which I have, and I haven't ever had any junior high kids, but I've had to deal with junior high kids, and I learned at a very early age, because I was in my early 20s when I was dealing with what you call junior high kids. I was a camp counselor for a church camp. I was actually working full time at the camp, but I was occasionally called, especially through the summer months. I was called to do camp counseling, and it was usually for grade school kids, fifth and sixth graders. But then I graduated to the junior high group, kind of got stuck there for a while, and then I ended up being a counselor for the senior high group, the high school aged kids. That was a mess as well. But that was a whole different kind of mess. The junior high kids were interesting. So this whole thing is exploding now, and they're accusing him of, in fact, there are death threats on this guy's head. They want to kill him. They're going to Kirk him, they're calling it. All kinds of things. They're doxing his family. They're doxing his parents. It's very evil stuff. He calls it out as evil. He said, this is just evil. And it is evil. This is not this kind of thing where we can have some kind of discussion. All they're doing is confronting him with racism, scapegoatism. They're scapegoating the Somali community. They're the scapegoat. They're not the scapegoat. I said it yesterday on the show. I don't understand why they're even using that term. They're just trying to find some term that they can throw out on this thing, and that particular one apparently won the focus groups that they do. Now, the interesting thing about this whole thing is how JP reacts. This comedian guy, he actually came out with a very interesting pieces of the puzzle here, and how this whole thing is going together, and all the corruption that's in Minnesota, and how it relates to some things. There was a murder, two people were murdered, basically, actually more than two, another attempted murder, with some individuals who had a particular vote in the state house, the state representatives, and it's very interesting how this whole thing panned out, and who was connected to everybody that was involved, and yet. When you're talking about billions of dollars flowing around, and someone threatens that cash cow, that golden goose, people's lives become very insignificant to some people. Now we talk about the Clintons and how many people. Now the Clintons know far more people. They're connected to far more people. They've met far more people than I will ever meet in my lifetime. I'm sure. Maybe I don't know. With all the speeches they've given, all the places they've traveled, all the things that they've done, you know, being governor, being senator, being secretary of state, all the things that they've done, constantly out there in the social world, I am a hermit in comparison. In terms of I'm out there, I meet people all the time, but not to nearly the degree that they have done. So you can connect people to, Hillary Clinton had a meeting with somebody such a day. But it is awfully suspicious that people in their inner circle, more of them have died from unnatural causes. Very important to point that out. Probably more people have died of unnatural causes in their inner circle than I even have an inner circle. It does look a bit suspicious, especially when some of these people had dirt on them and the hundreds of millions and actually billions of dollars that have flowed through the Clinton Foundation and everything that happened there. And it exploded the financial prowess of that foundation exploded after they left office, and they started we're trying to help with the, was it Jamaica? It was Jamaica. No, it wasn't Jamaica. Oh, what is the island? I'm trying to think of the island. It's rather run down. It's a mess. It has basically been, I can't remember what the name of it is. A lot of mission work is being done there, and a lot of money has been sent there. Haiti is what the name, that's the country. They've had earthquakes, storms, more earthquakes, more storms. It's just one thing after another, and of course, civil war, everything else, all kinds of government issues, all kinds of corruption. Any kind of aid that gets sent there tends to get captured by the government. It's a mess there. It is a mess, and the people involved, behind a lot of the money that's flowing, of course, are tapping into that, and it all becomes this whole thing of there's a whole lot of corruption, a whole lot of millions of dollars flowing around. And of course, when you have corruption like that, nobody's paying taxes on that, of course. So the whole thing just flows out and never flows back in, and nothing ever, and it's all to our expense. And that, it wouldn't bother me so much if $8 billion had been spent on infrastructure that mattered. This is much like the money flow that was going on in California under the Gavin Newsom authoritarian regime out there. They started building this bullet train, high speed rail, and the future is high speed rail. They've spent, I think, $30 billion on this project, and it's not. There's no train. There's not even a choo-choo train, not even a kids train to get you from one house to another. There's nothing to show for it other than some dirt in the desert. Then they're talking about finishing it, and it's only being built from like these two farm communities that it's and it's like why not make it from LA to San Diego or from LA to San Francisco or LA to somewhere? Why not have a bullet train that goes from a major metropolitan area to another? There's two farm communities they're talking about. I can't remember what the name of them are, but it's unbelievably stupid. And the money that now they're giving up on it because they have to. Because guess what? A lot of that money was coming from USAID, USAID. And of course, all the other places that the money comes from. But they were tipping their toes in it, dipping their. Now, 19, was it? No, 21 states. 21 states agreed to comply with, I'm sorry, 29 states agreed to comply with the government, the U.S. federal government's agency audit, basically, of where all the SNAP benefits are going and what's happening with SNAP and what's happening with a lot of the federal benefits funding programs that they're doing out there. And a lot of that has to do with childcare and everything else. And Minnesota was one of the country was one of the countries one of the states that that decided of the tw of the tw of the 21 states that would not comply. They were one of the states, and guess what? Minnesota, Governor Waltz now wants to double down on giving funding to the daycare centers and the educational facilities and the wellness facilities. They found one, I think it was in Minnesota, I think it was Minneapolis. One address has 21, I think it was 21, I might be off on my numbers. I think it was 21, it might have been 19, 19, 19 health facilities in at one address. And of course, when you go to that address, there's just a door and there's nothing there. There's nobody in and out. You would think with 19 health facilities, there'd be people, at least, maybe five or six people there, going in and out at a time with that many. Nothing. But me saying that makes me a racist, apparently. And of course, Nick Shirley's trying to say, I'm just going after the fraud. I'm just going after the fraud. And they're saying there is no fraud. Now, of course, all of a sudden people start showing up. Well, these businesses just happen to be closed. This business was just only open for this daycare center is only open from 2 to 10. He was there at 11 o'clock in the morning. They're only open from 2 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 10 o'clock at night. A lot of people drop off their kids after working hours. What? What? Why would you do that? Wouldn't the majority of the people working be working normal shifts? I mean, there's maybe a third of people work off shifts. Not even a third, actually. I think the number of people who work second and third shift, I don't even think it's 30% of the population. I think it's a lot less than that. Nationally, anyway, I just don't get it. Why the news media is even putting this out there. And they're trying to discredit Nick Shirley is what they're trying to do. It's continuing to do that. And of course, they're going to keep doing it. And yet here he is. He's in this situation where he's being doxxed and he's being put under the microscope. It simply to me makes it sound like, in fact, if you listen to this JP Reacts thing, he puts it together in a very clear and concise way. The comments that Mr. Walz has come out and said since this whole thing kind of erupted has almost made him sound more guilty. Make it sound like he's trying to cover something up. He's trying to turn this around into the white supremacist scapegoating thing that it is. I want to play this. This is, of course, Scott Jennings on Gabby Phillips, whatever their name or show is. I'll play this real quick. I was going to get into some other things this morning. I just won't talk about it. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Financial Friday. I think I'm talking about some things that there's a particular guy. His name is Nick Invests. The channel is called Nick Invests. And this guy talks about the psychology of money. He's very good. I would recommend anybody and everybody subscribe to his channel. I listen to it every day. I look forward to his stuff. He puts his stuff out like 4 o'clock in the morning. I think he records it in the evening and he posts it at like four in the morning. I love listening to it. It's just 90% of it's applicable to everyone's life. There's another. He kind of gets specific about some things sometimes that's not quite as good. But Nick Invests. We're talking about that tomorrow. In the meantime, I want to play this for you. I hope you can hear it okay. I'm going to play it on my iPhone, and I think hopefully you can hear this all right. It might be too loud. It might not be loud enough. I don't know. Hopefully it's clear enough. That's my concern. But this is Abby Phillips talking about this, and there, Scott Jennings brings up the point that Matt Walz did claim that this is all about white supremacy, and they say, oh, he never said that. This is courtesy of a channel called Righteous Perspective, which is mostly folks from the African-American community. And they're on there. And this, the guy who runs the main channel usually has a panel of people on. I think he's just on by himself for most of this show. Very good, because you get a lot of different perspectives from a lot of different people. But I'm gonna play this real quick just to kind of show you what this is about.
Democrats who have put Somali diaspora in Minneapolis at the center of their party and their state's politics. It's a small portion of the population. There is a bunch of fraud that goes on. And even Tim Walz has claimed that any investigation of this fraud is akin to white supremacy.
No, which he hasn't. No, he never said that.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
He has said that.
Yes, he did.
This is what happens when your own federal government wages war against you. This is what happens when they target communities for their own benefit. This is what happens when they scapegoat. And this is what happens when they no longer hide the idea of white supremacy. The idea of white supremacy. The idea of white supremacy. The idea of white supremacy.
Hey.
Now, so this is, again, that's the commentary there. Behind there is the guy who runs the channel, A Righteous Perspective. This is where we're at here with this thing. And what blows my mind is how they had no idea that Tim Walz said any of this stuff. No idea. And yet they are highly paid professionals in this. Some pretty basic information here that Tim Walz has come out and said, and he's not the only one. And this is not the only place where he said it. He said it multiple times on multiple different genre of interviews. And yet they come back out and say that this is, oh, it's not happening, it's not happening. They completely denied it. Abby Phillips denied it. It's not, this is not happening. Scott, you're wrong. I have to step in and fact check you all the time. You know, that's her attitude. She says this. She said, I have to step in and be the fact checker for all, you know, all this countering all this this right wing drivel, these false facts. I have to fact check all that stuff, and you're getting fact checks from someone who has no clue. They're completely clueless as to what has been going on. What amazes me is how much they're sticking up for this whole thing. It's one thing to come out and say, of course, they've used the term racist, and of course the Somali population. Now there's people who've come out while Nick was out there walking around, because he's done a few different things. Now he's got something else. I guess he's something else that he's exposed, and I think he's going to get ready to post this very shortly. He's got another report he's worked on, and he's going to be talking about it. I guess this is just another explosive thing that's included in this whole thing, and it's much bigger than this one is, in my opinion. I think that's what I've heard. Now I don't know if that's the case or not. I've just heard that from secondhand information. Nick Shirley himself didn't say anything about that, so we'll see how this all goes. But it's unraveling, and it's interesting to see how they're reacting. Probably the best description of the way I hear people like Tim Walz and others talking who are closely involved in this thing is what I call panic speak. They're on this edge of a panic. They don't have any facts. They don't have any figures. That all they're going to throw out is all this information that they're trying to make sound like they know what they're talking about. And it just comes out in a load of drivel, and they're not even sure how they're just completely confused by everything that they're saying. And it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting issue that they're coming up with. And now, unfortunately, that my time is drawing near. I probably need to. Maybe I can move this thing over a little bit. I'm gonna add you're getting a bonus 5 minutes today with the show. The music started coming in. I'm gonna postpone it for just a little bit. I want to talk about tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show, we're gonna talk about the education system a little bit, but we're also gonna talk about financial education and what happens in the public school system. And I want to break down a few things about education, about financial literacy, and what's being commonly called financial literacy, affordability, which is something we're hearing about. It's a term we're hearing about a lot, and just the absolute ignorance that most people have in terms of debt, borrowing, saving, just basic thing, taxes, all those things that have taken me basically 63 years to figure out. Public school system, and I would say even the college educational system, the collegiate, the upper higher education system, does not teach, and yet is something that everyone is involved in. Give me a call. Let me know what you think about what I think. 812-379-8778, and I will see you. Happy New Year. I will see you tomorrow. Okay. God bless. See you.